So why are you running for sheriff for McDonough County?
Many reasons. I've spent my life in law enforcement from basically 18, 19 years old. I joined the military police corps. When I got out of the military in 95, I was testing for various police departments, and I tested for the Illinois Department of Corrections. They offered me a job first, and so I went to work at the Pontiac Correctional Center. About a little over a year after I started working there at that maximum security facility, I got back into canine, which is something that I had done for many years in the military. So I stayed with canine, working with, you know, I've worked with the Chicago Police Department, Illinois State Police, FBI, U.S. Marshals, various drug task force around the state, trying to hinder or subdue narcotics into local communities. And it wasn't until, I'm going to say 2016. I mean, I had ideas that I wanted to run for sheriff in, off and on throughout the past, but it wasn't until I was diagnosed with renal cell carcinoma in April of 2016 that I, you know, took a step back and looked at everything. And it's, you know, I've served our country to help defend it against, you know, all enemies, foreign and domestic. I have served our state on a state level, trying to defeat narcotics. Well, I grew up in McDonough County, and it was time that I served our community, you know, the place that helped mold me into the man that I am today. So that's when I talked to my wife, and we sat down and discussed it, and I decided that the time was right. The incumbent was retiring, and so the seat was going to be vacant. And what a better opportunity than right now, where I could get my message out, along with whoever else was going to be running, and let the voters of McDonough County decide who they thought was the best person to take over the sheriff's department and lead it into the future. So that's what I did.
Are you healthy now?
Yes, I am cancer-free. I've been a little over a year now. August of 18 will be 2 years cancer-free. So pretty stoked about that. You know, very elated.
Yes, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You're a bit of an outside candidate in that you're the only one who does not currently work at the McDonough County Sheriff's Office. Does that give you a different perspective on this race?
No, because whether you – I've been a police officer for roughly 21 years of my life. I'm familiar with almost everyone that works on that police department. I know all of them. There might be a couple of new guys that I'm unfamiliar with because I spent a lot of time when I was canine working with these guys, helping them train, getting them certified. They're canines, so they wouldn't be losing cases at the state level. So, I mean, I know these guys. They know me. It doesn't matter if you're in a department of 4 or 24. It's still the same. You still have to have trained staff that are competent out there serving and protecting the citizens that they work for. And you have to do it within budget or below, you know, under or at the budget that is given to you. So I've been a police officer. I've been a corporal, a sergeant, assistant chief, chief. I mean, so I've done all of that. So stepping from these other law enforcement agencies that I work for into the sheriff's department will not hamper anything that the sheriff's department does. I'm familiar with all facets of enforcing the laws. The jail, of course, I'm very familiar with the jail setting. And investigations. I mean, that's what the sheriff's office is mainly tasked with. And so I'm very familiar with all three aspects. Like I said, I think the jail here holds about 45 or 50 offenders. I have 2,100 that I'm responsible for.
And you're talking about your job now as the operations warden for the the jail in Canton.
Yes.
So that is a much larger size operation.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I run the day-to-day operations of the facility in Canton. And what that entails is ensuring that all of our writs, which are, what a writ is one of our offenders, if he has to go to court, if he has to go to a doctor's appointment, if he has to go to the hospital, anytime he has to be sent outside of the facility, it is my job to make sure that he is secured, all the documentation is done properly, and he gets to his location safely and securely, finishes up with whatever he had to do there, and is returned to our custody at the facility. And it also entails all the movement inside of the fence. So everything that the McDonough County Jail does, we do as well, just on a larger scale. So we have to house them, feed them, clothe them. Same thing they do at the jail. It's just on a much larger scale.
And so when you're thinking about becoming sheriff, what would be your priorities for the office?
My priorities are when I talked to you last time. It's still the same, because what I did was, before I decided to throw my hat in the ring, so to speak, is I went around and I talked to mayors of McDonough County in the outlying small villages and towns. And what we discussed was response time. And the response time of the sheriff's department now is very slow. I don't know why, but it's the citizens feel that it should be a faster response time.
So that's the amount of time it takes for the sheriff's department to respond to a call?
From the time the call is sent in to the time they get on scene.
Okay.
And, you know, just for like a Prairie City, Illinois, for instance, I'm going to use that, is Bushnell 16 miles, Prairie City 7 miles farther than that. So, you know, it's 23 miles away, and they were telling me that it was taking an hour plus to get response times of the sheriff to get there once calls are made. And so as I went around talking to the mayors, that seemed to be the overall sentiment, is it does take a long time for the response to happen. And so one of my goals is to ensure that we have coverage in these areas with quicker response times. And how I want to do that is I want to make areas of responsibility. So if we have deputies that live over on the northeast side of the county, that's where they're going to patrol. That's their main patrol area. Of course, they're going to come back here when they need to. But they're going to stay in their zone. So if we have some on the southwest side to cover Tennessee, Comer, and those areas, that's going to be their main area of operation. And it'll happen in all areas of the county. That way we have, one, quicker response times. Because if they're already in the area, they're going to get there faster. Now, of course, it's not saying they're going to have to stay there all the time. They're going to be allowed to come back here. They're going to have paperwork they're going to have to do. They're going to have to get gas, you know, meals. But for the most part, I will want them out in the county in their designated area.
Anything else as far as priorities go that you want to mention?
Yeah, training. I want to make sure that right now we have a huge contingent of mentally ill citizens. I mean, it's what happened on the state level is there was a lawsuit filed called Rosho, and it was dealing with some mentally ill offenders that weren't getting the care they needed. So my philosophy on that is, if you don't think that there's going to be some individuals that are being housed at the county level that have mental health issues, you got your head in the sand, first of all. Secondly, we have to do something to ensure that they are getting the treatment that they need while they are in our custody. So if that's reaching out to various organizations in the county and trying to work with them to assist in making sure that they have somebody that they can talk to that is a professional to deal with some of these stressors of being arrested and locked up, then that's what we need to do, because the county cannot afford a lawsuit like the one that the state has taken on.
And that was a lawsuit because someone was mistreated?
Well, they weren't getting the services, mental health services, that they needed while incarcerated. And I believe it, I can't remember the exact, all I know is I've got the lawsuit that I'm still reading through, which is very, very intensive.
You would like to see better training for the officers?
Yes, because what we have done on the state level is we have gotten all of our officers training as far as crisis goes. We call them crisis team members now, to where they have went through mental health training to assist in doing that initial evaluation on whether or not they need to speak to a mental health professional. So they would go in whenever one of our offenders is having a crisis situation and wants to talk to somebody. Our crisis team members go in and they speak with them. And of course we have a chart that it's a numbered system, you know, that if you have like 12 areas that are harmful and 5 that are positive, well, of course, you're going to refer them to the crisis team, mental health professional. But something like that, to where we can have a first line at the sheriff's department with our jailers over there, get these guys trained so they know how to deal with this, talk to them, and then if they need mental health professionals, then we got to work with whatever agencies in the county that we have that we can partner with to get somebody in there to speak with the individual that is having a mental health issue.
Let's talk about drugs. Opioid abuse, meth, I think those are issues that McDonough County is facing. What are sort of your plans for addressing that?
Well, I think the first thing we're going to do is pick back up the monitoring. With meth, that's been a scourge in this area for many, many years. Outside of Macomb, Bushnell's the only full-time police department in the county. Blandonsville and Colchester are part-time. But we need to make sure that we bring those police departments in to whatever training we're doing so we're all on the same page and are able to work together to fight these problems.
Do you think marijuana should be legalized?
That's a hard question to answer. I mean, it's, when the Harrison Stamp Act of 1912 was written, it was considered, one of the harshest drugs. But over the years, it has been proven to show medicinal purposes for anorexics, for cancer patients. And the way the state of Illinois is going right now, I mean, as you know, we've gotten the medical marijuana stuff going, and I foresee in the future that it will go to a personal amount. And the reason it's hard is because I spent my entire adult life, you're talking 20 years as a patrol narcotics detector dog handler and trainer. So it's hard. Will it be legal someday? I believe it will. And we'll have to adjust in law enforcement to that. But will it be legal soon? That's hard to say. And I don't use it. So if it becomes legal, we'll deal with it that way. If it remains illegal, we'll continue to do what we do. I really have no horse in that race. So,
do you have any sort of ideas on where you could cut from the sheriff's office in order to maintain services but also work on a smaller budget?
I'm just now getting copies of their budget and looking at it. What I have seen is they get vehicles fairly often. I haven't looked to see if that's all grant money or if it's partial grant money and then partial county funds. But if the vehicles are in good shape and they're maintained well, you could use them a few more years than what I think from what I'm seeing at just a bird's eye view, so to speak, so far of how often they get new vehicles. And that would be one way that we would be able to save quite a bit of money is, you know, if the car has 80,000 miles on it, that doesn't mean we have to get rid of it. If it's sound, if we have done the proper maintenance, we can drive those and do, you know, 100, 120 and still be viable and reliable. You know, it's all in how you maintain them. If you're not out there acting like you're in an episode of the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, if you're being sensible with what you're doing and only when needed, you know, beating it up a little bit, so to speak, then we should be able to get many more years out of the vehicles. And that would save, like I said, that would save a lot of money just from what I'm looking at now, just starting my process into looking at their budgets. Their repair budget, I can't remember what year I looked at, but they had like allotted for $2,000, somewhere around there. But they spent 14, 15, some, I mean, it was like 10 times the amount of money that they had put in their line item for vehicle repairs and stuff. And I haven't looked at where, you know, where that other money came from, because you can switch line item stuff to when you need to. But, you know, we've got to do better job of maintaining those vehicles so we can use them for a longer period of time. That's just one area. And if you have me back sometime, I'll like I said, I'm just now getting into their budget stuff. So, I'll have a lot more answers on where we could save money.
And this is a government entity with a budget.
Yes.
Potentially, you know, that's looking at possibly even cuts in the future. You have a master's in public administration.
Yes, I do.
Does that play in at all to your ability to sort of manage a department like that?
Yeah. I mean, and we do it now. It's we used to, at the state level, get a budget. You know, I remember, a couple years ago, it was like $34 million. But when things started going south, we had to tighten the belt. And we look, I mean, right now we look at everything that we purchase on the state level. Is it necessary? And that's one thing I would bring here. For instance, we just had a water pump go out in our multipurpose building. So the water was going everywhere. We shut the water off. We determined that that part heats that area of the building, so we have to have it. So we bought it. Then we actually went all the way down to look to see, are these bolts necessary to mount it to the wall, or is that something that we could use less of to mount it? I mean, that's how micromanaging we are with money right now at the state level, and that is something that I will bring to the sheriff's office. We will look at every purchase item that is requested. If it is needed, we will get it. If it's not, we won't. And that alone will save unknown dollars as well.
Over your career in law enforcement, it sounds as if you've worked in a lot of different departments. Is there anything that you've enjoyed the most?
My favorite by far has been canine. Where else can you get paid to play with a dog all day? It's fun taking something that, when you have it, it knows how to chase its tail and just have fun. Because I am a certified trainer through the Law Enforcement Training Standards Board and course instructor. To me, the best part of canine was getting that green dog that knows nothing. And it's, I always equated it to being a sculptor, because, you know, a sculptor will get a block of granite, and all we see is a block of granite. But that sculptor sees, you know, the statue that he's going to make in his mind's eye before he even...
The potential.
Yeah. Where when I'm out testing dogs for this type of work, you know, and you're throwing the ball. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're walking him up and down stairs on slick floors. You're making noise, doing all this, and seeing the reaction of that dog. And when he passes all your little tests, you know what you're going to get with this animal. And then to start that training, and in 10 to 12 weeks, getting that dog certified, there was nothing better. Now going out and finding them, watching them work, you know, it was just fun to watch, knowing that you did this, created this, and now he's doing this, and he's helping us stop narcotic interdictions into the facility. We're not getting narcotics into this prison because this dog that you trained and you've worked with is doing his job to the highest level.